Found out later he's making fun of me. Amen. But take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 24. Good to see everybody here tonight. Good to see other churches here and preacher being here tonight. Amen. And just glad some of the folks came back after last night. Amen. That showed some nerve. Amen. But I'm looking for the Lord to do something tonight. Ain't you? I believe He can. I believe He wants to. Amen. And if He don't, well, we're all in a mess. Amen. We need Him. Amen. It's good to see our brother come in tonight. Boy, that stirred me up. Amen. And the people that should be here tonight, that'll be here tomorrow night, we'll chew them out then. Amen. But I'm glad. That's a blessing. I'll remember that for a long time. And that little gal singing so loud there. Amen. Some of y'all need to trade places every once in a while. Just sit up there and sing by her. Amen. It'd help you. Amen. Matthew chapter number 24, reading in verse number 1. Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now that kind of talk is what got Him in trouble a lot. Amen. The Jews hated it when He talked like that. Amen. They called it blasphemy. And one of these days, folks, I'm telling you, there won't be one stone upon another. The Bible says, "And He sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto Him privately." And boy, I like that. You know, them fellows, man, they walked with the Son of God. They was there privately with Him. Saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world?" Man, that's pretty good questions, don't you reckon? I mean, if there was one thing you want to ask the Lord tonight, wouldn't it be, "Hey, Lord, when you coming? When's all this going to end up?" Amen. Good question. Might be tonight. Amen. I wonder if you're ready. Some of you I wonder about. Say, how can you say that? I can say that after one night. Amen. Some folks in here scare me. Amen. And I'm after you. Coming after you tonight. Amen. That's why I only go to small churches. Amen. I don't know any other way to do it, though. Verse number 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you." Pretty good idea then that we're easily deceived. Amen. Anybody that would send money to Benny Hinn, amen, or Rod Parsley, he's a punk. Amen. You see him tell him I said so. Kick him for me. Amen. I seen him the other day. I turn on a Moteller once in a while just to get mad. I turn on TBN and watch it for a little while. My wife said, "I don't know why you turn it over there. Every time you do, you get mad." I said, "That's why. I like to preach mad." Amen. That way I'll never get into the Sherry Carey mode. But he was talking about Easter, and he said, "Send me an Easter gift. Plant your seed gift of $8,500. He said, "If you do that, you'll have prosperity for 1 year and good health for 1 year." Sound like a whoop a guy like that. Amen. I got more confidence. I got more respect for a dope dealer than I do him. Amen. You say, why? Because he's deceiving people. "Take heed that no man deceive you." The one that I get in trouble preaching about is John Hagee. Yeah. He's the most dangerous of all of them. Because he preaches all of our stuff. Amen. You say, well, I like him. He's the most deceiving of all of them. Amen. He's got more truth than the rest of them do. So he can sucker people in better. He's just like the rest of them. They have healing services and everything else. Amen. And the guy, the reason he's a charismatic right now is because he used to be a Southern Baptist in San Antonio, and he ran off with this piano player. That's why he's a Pentecostal there now. They'll take anybody. Amen. So take heed that no man deceive you. Amen. Verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Amen. That's one good reason to be an American. Amen. When all the wars are going on, at least we got the biggest guns. Amen. I got in trouble in a church one night. I had 13 people get up and walk out on me. I started an exodus. You say, well, what did you say? I was talking about the Iraq war and all that. I said, nuke them till they glow, and then shoot them at night. People got mad. One guy got up, and he grabbed his wife by the arm and says, come on, we're leaving. I mean, out loud. And she looked at him, and she goes, no, I don't want to leave. She wanted to hear the rest of the message. And he finally got her up, and then he kicked the pew on the way out. And I felt like just taking my glasses off, following him out in the parking lot. But you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. It's not going to stop till he comes. Amen. So how do you know that? Because what I've read just right there. It said, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, we see that today. And then shall many be offended. But you've never seen a day more than today. People are offended so easy. I preached one night at a church, and I had a guy come to me after the service. And he came to me and said, Brother McGahee, I need to talk to you. And I always know the look. You know, it's like you're in high school. You know, Mark McGahee to the office, please. And I walk out and I go, yeah. He goes, I just wanted to let you know you said something tonight that offended me. You know, what do you say to that? Oh, come here. Come here, I'm sorry. What do you say to that? Guy my size, come on. I've never been offended. Anything a preacher said. I've had some things I didn't agree with. Amen. But I'm not going to, you offended me. I'm afraid my dad would come out of the woodwork somewhere and whoop me. Amen. You offended me. You can hear the huffs. You ought to see the looks from up here sometimes. I wish I had a little hidden camera to take pictures. To have a photo album. You ever seen the eye roll? It's when they're preaching, they go. Or the cold stares like this. I mean, you could be saying something funny and they're. Or the deliberate blink. You ever seen that? You ever seen that when preaching? Or you get a husband and wife, they're both just as sorry as each other are. And they're waiting on you to say something they don't agree with. And when you do, they'll go. Many shall be offended. And the Bible says, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And I just kind of preach my way through here, but verse number 12 is what I want to preach about tonight. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I want to preach tonight about a cold love, a cold love. Father, we come before you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for salvation, Lord. Thank you for the blood that cleanses from all sin. And God, tonight we come before you totally dependent upon thee. Pray you'll give that liberty that only comes through the Spirit of God. And I pray you'll speak to our hearts here tonight. Meet with us and be pleased, Lord. You get a blessing here tonight. And God, if there's anybody here lost, and Lord, I believe there is, God, I pray you'll deal with their heart. Make it easy for them to be saved. And God, send revival. Grant the desire. Brother Piet's heart, Lord, what he's prayed for, and these folks here that's been praying for weeks and months for this meeting, God, have your way in our hearts, and we'll give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. Save that sinner nearest hell, in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of all the things the Lord says here about the last days and about, amen, the sign of His coming and all that, probably the most dangerous of all of them was the last one there. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I'm going to tell you something. We've never seen a colder day than it is now. Amen. I'm telling you, people are ice cold nowadays. Amen. And their love ain't right. Amen. Preaching to teenagers today. Teenagers are weird. They are. They're weird. You don't never know what they're thinking nowadays. They're all isolated. They get depression. Come on now, help me out here. Some of y'all, are you afraid of teenagers? Ain't afraid of them. They're nerds. They're geeks. Say amen right there. Amen. The girls, they're mean. Amen. They're clannish. Boys, they're just dumb. The boys would sit there like this. But girls, they're mean. They're clannish. And today, I'm going to tell you something. Today, I can tell, coming into a church, I can tell what kind of music you listen to. I'm telling you, music. I hit on that. That's one of my hobby horses. Can I go ahead and get on my hobby horse? The devil is a musical being. When God created him, God created musical instruments in him. You say, well, how did he do that? I don't know, but he did. Amen. The Bible said he's got tabrets and pipes and vials built inside him. Amen. He had those to glorify God there. He was the anointed cherub that covereth. And I'm going to tell you, when he fell, he took music with him. Amen. The book of Isaiah says, the noise of thy vials is brought down to the grave, thy pomp and thy glory. I looked up that word vial in the dictionary. It's a guitar. Amen. A vial says all of a group of stringed instruments having frets, strings, and a flat back. It's a git fiddle. It's a violin, or a fiddle as we call it in Alabama. Amen. It's mandolins and all that. And electric guitars. You say what? You say you preaching against them? No, God built those in him to glorify God with. And if you use it to glorify God, it's fine. But man, when you get out of that realm, telling you the devil uses that stuff. How many of you kids go to public school? Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. Either that or you're just embarrassed to raise your hand. I go to churches where all the kids go to public school. And I ask them kids, I'll say, how many of you kids sitting here know of somebody in your school that takes razor blades or glass and cuts themselves? You ought to see the hands that go up. How many of you kids sitting here, any of y'all know anybody that cuts herself? And y'all, somebody, one hand went up. I'm going to tell you something, folks. That music is wicked. Amen. We was at youth camp one year. Youth camp, we've talked about youth camp today and last night. Youth camp, you pull out all the stops. I mean, you think I preach hard here. Youth camp, you just name their name. Call them out. Shake them. We had five girls come from a church. One girl had purple hair. And they all sat on the front row right here, and they was all talking. And when I started preaching, they all started laughing and talking. I went, whoa, 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 this ain't going to happen. I said, you move over here. And they're like, I mean, they're not used to anybody. Amen. So I moved them over there, and she crossed her arms. I said, everybody look at a little spoiled brat. And her face turned red. Amen. There's five of them. Before the week was over with, four of them got saved. And that girl that I moved that had the purple hair and all that, she called, I think it was about Thursday night, she called me and my wife up to her dorm room. She wanted to talk to us. We got up there. She's 15 years old. And she rolled up the sleeves on her arm, and she had cuts all up and down her arms. And she looked at us crying. She goes, you know what that is? I said, yeah, I've seen that before. She said, I cut myself. I said, girl, you need to get rid of that music you're listening to. And she started crying. She goes, I can't. I said, yeah, you can. She goes, no, I can't. I said, why not? She goes, it's my mom's. She looks at me and she goes, "My mom's a witch. She's in the Wiccan." Man, me and my wife looked at each other. I wanted to take her with me. Amen. I wanted to get her out of there. And that little gal, she got saved. She goes, "What do I do?" Man, what do you tell somebody like that? Amen. We're dealing with kids all over, and I don't know. I know this. Every one of you kids sitting here, the devil wants to get his music in you. Amen. And I don't have a presentation or nothing like that. I just know it's wicked. I know when I was a kid, I know I got into the drug culture, and all of what I got into is because of music. Remember some of the songs and the message they had? I was coming here on the airplane the other day, and when you're sitting there in the plane getting ready to taxi out, they're playing, you know, the radio, and they was playing them old songs, and one of the songs they was playing, "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds." He said, "Well, that's not a bad song." Yeah, it is. It's talking about an LSD trip. That's what "Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds" is. It's LSD. And the whole thing's about taking a trip, big marshmallows and flowers bursting out. The whole thing. Y'all remember this song? "Bye, bye, Miss American Pie, drove my Chevy to the left." You say, "Well, that's an innocent song." No, it ain't. That song says, "I went down to the sacred store. I found the music doesn't play there anymore." What do you mean the sacred store? Devil's talking about the church house. That song said the three men we'd admired the most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, took the last train for the coast the day the music died. So what are they singing about? The death of Christianity in America. Amen. How about this one? "Welcome to the Hotel California." Y'all know what the Hotel California is? It's the first church of Satan out in California. You open the album cover up on that old Eagles album, and they got a picture of Anton LaVey looking out a window. That's the author of the first satanic Bible. Said that song says, "We stab it with our steely knives, but we just can't kill the beast." Talking about a blood sacrifice. And folks, that's elevator music compared to what they're listening to now. Amen. Got these kids now, the music they listen to now sounds like this. "I want to get your soul. I want to..." It's crazy. Some of you sitting here listen to that junk. You need your head examined. Amen. Ain't no wonder you're so cold. Amen. Sitting there, anybody here listen to rap music? You need your head wrapped. Amen. Am I hitting a nerve yet? Walking up to Kmart one day, this car pulls up. It's all low to the ground, tinted windows. And you can hear it way before it gets there. There's mamas and families walking, you know, with kids and stuff up and down through there. This car pulls up and got the sunroof back. And this song's playing, this rap song. This has been about 4 or 5 years ago. I had no idea that they cussed like they do on them songs. I had no idea. I was ignorant to that. Man, all of a sudden the words, the lyrics of that rap song started coming out of that car. And they was cussing. And I looked around, there's families and stuff walking around. And the car was right there, and I went, "Hey, turn that off!" They looked up at me, and I went, "How dare you! Get on out of here!" Took off out of there. Amen! Aggravated me. And anybody that would wear their britches down like they do is stupid. Amen. Don't you girls even pay attention to anybody like that. He's a hunk. No, he ain't. He's a nerd. I was behind the boy in the store one day and I said, "Son, we do not want to see your drawers." You know what I'm talking about? Underwear. I forgot where I was. Amen. Draws. We don't want to see you draws. walking. They got to hold their pants up. The belt is here. How in the world? Couldn't run away from a dog if they had to. Stupid. He said, "Why are you ranting and raving about this stuff? It's gotten you cold." Amen. Because iniquity shall abound. The love of many shall wax cold. That's where we're at. Kids, there's kids sitting in here don't even know how to love their mom and daddy right. How in the world are you going to know how to love God? Amen. We're going to hit all that tonight. Y'all got an hour and a half or so? Amen. You see the struggle it took him to get in here? You think I'm going to be short tonight? Think no way. Cold love. Amen me right there, girls. Let me hear you say amen. Wimps. They're cute wimps, though, ain't they? Let me say number one. We've got a cold love toward the Son of God. I don't know, folks. I can't make nobody in here love Jesus Christ. But if He done for you what He's done for me, it sure be easy to love Him. Amen. And if you're saved, sitting in here tonight, it ought to be something easy to love Him. Amen. I've got a preacher that I love to listen to. Whenever I get real down, I put in Jasper Williams. Jasper Williams is an old black preacher out of Atlanta, Georgia. And there's about four or five of them. There's Jasper Williams Jr., the third, the fourth, the fifth. They got, I think it's Salem Baptist Church he was a pastor of. He was the senior pastor. And that old preacher, I'm telling you, them old black preachers, Buddy Blanco said if reincarnation was true, he'd like to come back as a spirit-filled black preacher. I don't know if I'd go that far. But he's got a message that he preached, and the name of the message is, "He is the best that I've ever seen." And only a black man can preach like they do. I mean, he puts you into the message. And he starts the message out, and you've got to take in consideration now, he's got a whole amen section. I mean, you give a white man that, he'll preach himself to death. Am I right? He said, "Today, I'm going to take you on a journey." And in the background, you can hear these guys saying, "That's all right." Mm-hmm. "Well, take your time right there, preacher. Come on and preach." Man alive, what? Some of you deadheads, you just sat there. Amen. He says, "I'm going to take you on a journey to a celestial courtroom, if you will." He said, "In this courtroom, we are all spectators." "Oh, yes, we are." He said, "Today in this courtroom, the Lord Jesus is on trial whether or not He's worthy enough to come back for His church." He said, "Well, that ain't doctrinally." Shut up. Makes good preaching. And today, he said, "We are spectators." He said, "In this courtroom, God the Father is the judge." See, people are helping him out. They're going, "That's all right. Yeah, yeah, preacher, amen." Not like y'all are doing. He said, "The court recorder is the Word." He said, "The cross-examiner is the Holy Ghost." He said, "Over in the jury box over yonder, you've got the attributes of God. Love, joy, peace. They're in the jury box. Mercy, long-suffering. They're all in the jury box." He says, "This courtroom is now adjourned. You know, take the order." He said, "We're going to call our first witness." And the first witness comes up and said, "You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God." He said, "I do." He said, "State your name." He said, "My name is Natural Law." And the courtroom goes, The cross-examiner says, "Tell us, Natural Law, what do you do?" Natural Law says, "I make sure everything happens. I make sure it happens. I am Natural Law. I make sure the sun come up in the morning and the sun go down at night.
He said, I make sure when a brown cow eats green grass that it gives off white milk. I am natural law. The cross-examiner says, let me direct my line of questioning in a more direct line. Do you have anything to do with when a baby is born? Natural law says, oh yeah. Said, I make sure all the chromosomes and the genes, and the color of the hair, and the color of the eyes, and how big the nose is going to be. There's a dandy right there. Amen. Amen. I make sure that they're going to have how much hair, if they're going to have any at all. Amen. Said, I am natural law. And the cross-examiner says, has your law ever been broken? Natural law says, oh no, my law has never been broken. He says, now, I said, you're under oath. And he says, well, there was one time when my law was broken. He said, it was yonder down there, Bethlehem stable. It was that little girl named Mary. Natural law looks around and says, you all set me up. He said, you know the judge had something to do with that. He said, that little gal named Mary, she gave child that was virgin born. My law was broken on that day. The cross-examiner says, tell us of that one, that child. He said, that baby yonder was Jesus. He said, tell the courtroom your estimation of this one named Jesus. Natural law stands up, puts his hand on the rails and says, he is the best that I've ever seen. And he calls up eternity and he calls up death. And man, by the time he gets to the last, you've got to understand how it goes. They start to gravy then. I mean, his sermon almost sounds like a song. And you say, I don't like that. It's all right. Some of us do. Amen. And by the time he gets to the last part of it, he's going, and I'll tell you in the courtroom, I call the last witness. Oh, yes, I do. He said, the last witness that I call Jasper Williams. Said, tell us, Mr. Williams. Said, how old are you? When were you born? He said, wait a minute, Mr. Cross-Examiner. You want to know the first time I was born or the second time I was born? Said, the first time. The first time I was born, my mama told me about it. But the second time I was born, I told mama about it. And he goes on, boy, and he's saying, he is the best that I've ever seen. And boy, I'm telling you here tonight, folks, he is the best that there is. Amen. If you're saved, he ought to be first and foremost. Hey, he's easy to love. Amen. I've read a preacher preached on this, and it's documented in 1994, and I use this everywhere I go. This is one of my favorite illustrations as well. 1994 in Zaire, Africa. They had a civil war down there. And you better thank God you're an American. Amen. You ever heard of Idi Amin? Those folks down there in Africa, he killed just as many as his people. They said Hitler killed the Jews. And they are always fighting. And man, in 1994, they had a civil war, and they called in the French Foreign Legion. French Foreign Legion came in, and they brought in heavy equipment, and their job was to take care of all the dead bodies. All the people had been killed. There was villages where the whole village was slaughtered by these soldiers come in. And they had the job of taking bulldozers and digging mass graves. If they didn't do that, that disease would spread through the country and kill everybody. So these guys, how would you like to have that task? It's taking bulldozers and pushing bodies. Whole families have been killed. Babies thrown up in the air and caught on a sword. And they said them guys got to where they couldn't sleep at night, seeing them faces of death and grimaces of death. And they got the man, they were stressed out. Said one day they had dug a grave about the size of this building, and they was pushing them bodies over in there. And they said the captain of the Foreign Legion, Legionnaire, he was driving the bulldozer, and he's pushing off, and he looked down in the middle, and he seen a hand come up out of there. And they said he shut his bulldozer off, and he said, hey, somebody's alive out there. And they said the captain got off his machine and waded down into all them bodies and all the bloated bodies and stink and filth, and said he waded down in there, and he reached his hands down in there, and said he pulled out a 14-year-old boy. And somebody had took a sword and hit him right here and tried to cut his head off and missed. And the boy was still alive. And he held him up and listened for a heartbeat, and his heart was beating, and he's holding him there in the middle of all that filth. Them other legionnaires got around the edge of that pit, and they're all looking there at him, and he's holding that boy. He's looking up at him going, I don't know whose he is. Said, I don't know where he came from. Said, but I'll take him. Said, I'll adopt him. I'll make him mine. Amen. Telling you, that's what Jesus Christ did for me and you. The Bible said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. I'm telling you, he is the best that we've ever seen. But if you get cold toward him, you're cold. You're done for. And how you can get in the service and everybody starts singing about him, and the service is geared toward him, and then not do something for you. Maybe you've never known him. Cold, cold, cold. Amen. You can take a temperature of a church. You start talking about him. Amen. Listen, folks, there's no greater platform on the face of the earth than the local church than to lift up him. Don't you let anybody psych you out of it. Amen. He is the best that there is. Cold, cold love. Some of you kids sitting here, you can't smile. Yeah, I'm telling you, you've got the look. Something's wrong. Need to fix it. Amen, amen. Cold. I'll tell you what else. Cold toward the scriptures. That book right there. We are a people of a book. Amen, amen. That Bible, the Word of God, that's what changed my life. Oh, preacher used to say, it's the book, man, it's the book, it's the book. He'd get all those guys in Bible class, and anybody here that's ever been down there, you know, he'd tuck there and spitting peanuts and stuff out of his mouth and holes. And he'd say, you boys, I'm telling you, it's the book, man. Amen, amen, amen. He'd say, get rid of your dirty books, man. Some of you kids, you need to go home, boys. Get rid of your pornography. Amen, amen. I'm telling you, we'd revolutionize independent Bible-believing Baptist churches if we just did that. Amen. We just got rid of the dirty books, the dirty magazines, and the MySpace.com, and little chat rooms, and whatever's got you in such a weird mode. Amen. Some of you got the booger man on you is what's wrong. Got a weird spirit about you. Amen. You're comfortable everywhere but in here. Something wrong. Amen. We ought to lock the door. We ought to bolt the door tonight. Not let you out till you're right with God. Amen. Some of them's our kids, our grandkids. And they've gotten cold. Amen. A cold love. That book's what makes a difference. I got saved out of a life of drugs and all that stuff. And the preacher said, that book will straighten out the kinks in your head. But I needed it. I was kinky headed. Amen. And it did. This book's been my refuge. Amen. Sometimes, man, I gotta hug it up toward me. Amen. It saved me. How about you? Are you spending time in your Bible? It'll show on you if you don't. Amen. You'll get cold if you don't. Man, I've got the right message tonight. I can tell that. Amen. Got cold. Hey, cold. Mr. Ice Man, Ice Girl. Amen. What's wrong? What's gotten you away from the Bible? Care more about CSI Miami than you do your Bible? If I was Rick Drummond right now, I'd splash y'all with water. That's what he does, and everybody, he gets aggravated, he throws water on everybody. Amen. TV took the place of your book? It's wrong, then. Amen. MySpace. I'm preaching against that everywhere I go. MySpace.com is for losers. Hey, loser. Amen. How about this tonight? If you got a MySpace account sitting here, how about giving your password to Brother Piet? Got enough guts to do that? So he can go in there and look at your profile. Look and see what all your friends write, what all they say. Amen. Maybe that's why you gotten so cold. Maybe preaching don't do nothing for you no more. We still have old-fashioned burning services at some of the revival meetings we've had. Amen. People bring stuff. We've had stuff just fill the altar. We was in Panama City, Florida. Had the altars just full. There was bags. There was computer programs. There was bags people had taped up. And they said, don't look in that one. Amen. One night, had all that stuff packed up there. And a boy ran out of the church. I mean, got up and ran out. Came back about 20 minutes later and had a skateboard in his hand. Walked in the back door and brought that skateboard up and laid it on the altar, crying. I was preaching. I said, son, you want to say something? He turned around, all of his church folks, and he's crying. He said, everybody in here, they know me as being a skateboarder. He said, I want to be known from here on out being a soul winner. Amen. Amen. And that boy ended up going to Bible school, and now he's a soul winner in the ministry. What is it about having a skateboard and looking like Denny Dimwit? Amen. What makes a skateboarder weird? There's something demonic hooked up in that thing. It all goes together. I walked into Taco Bell one day, and there was about five or six skateboarders sitting there. They had sock caps on. It was 90 degrees outside. That's weird right there. They had shorts on that looked like girls' culottes. Had earrings and stuff through their nose, you know, and tattoos, 15, 16 years old. And I handed them all a gospel tract. One of them kids looked at me and goes, what do you think, man? We're weird? I went, yeah. I said, ain't that the look you're going for? One of them started laughing. He goes, hey, man, he got us there. Hey, man. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe some of y'all, maybe you're so mad at me right now, you wouldn't give me the pleasure of giving up something like that. How about for him?
Yeah.
How about for God? How about first just admitting that you're cold? I read a story of a fellow, his name was, I got it wrote down. I got to get his name. That guy's name was Hen. Should have been easy to remember. It shows you. But he was a Vietnamese in the Vietnam War. He was a Vietnamese interpreter for the United States Army. And when the United States Army pulled out, he got arrested by the communists and was put in a communist concentration camp. And Hen was in there, and he knew how to speak English. And they put him in the dirtiest jobs. They tortured him, all that. They tried to reprogram him back into communism and all that. And they put him down in the latrine. He had to go down into the latrine to clean that every day. They put him down in there. Psychological stuff. And he's down there one day, and he looked down, and he seen a wad of white paper crumbled up. And he just grabbed it, and he hid it on his body. And he got back to his little place where they throw him, his little hole, and he come out, and he pulled that piece of paper out, and it was a page out of the book of Romans. And they said he took it and cleaned the human filth off of it. What it was, the commandant of the concentration camp was using the King James Bible for toilet paper. And they said after it was over with, Hen got almost the whole book of Romans. And they said that old boy down there cherished it and put it together. Read that Bible, that little tattered fragment of Bible, had human filth on it, and read it and got saved. And man, I'm telling you, and cherished that little bit of Bible that he had. And man, here we are. Telling you, hey, we're cold. We're cold. I'm telling you, if us preachers don't get back on fire preaching the Word of God, we're in a mess. So afraid of offending somebody. Never seen such a sickening mess in my life. Say, well, ain't you afraid of making somebody? I'm afraid of not making somebody mad. I'm telling you, there's enough people in here right now that somebody ought to be mad now. And if you're not, I ain't done my job. Amen. Amen. If you're living out in the world and don't love that book, and amen, you ought to be mad right now. It's a confrontation. We was in a service not too long ago, and we had 9 people saved in a service.
And I give an invitation. You know, a lot of times a preacher will say, every head bowed and every eye closed, you know. If you're saved, you know, let me see your hand. I'm not going to come to where you are, you know. Sometimes I lie because I come down there to where they are. I said, everybody here that's saved, you know you're saved, lift your hands up. And I just walk down. I start walking through the congregation. I'd see somebody with not their hand up. I'd say, what in the world's wrong with you? Haven't you heard the gospel all your life? Don't you? What in the world are you waiting on? And I'd go to somebody else, and there was a lady sitting there about probably late 60s. And she went, she got up and ran to the altar. Amen. And got down there, and I heard her. I was still out here, and I heard her going, I need to get saved. Amen. I walked back here, and she got the pastor's wife led her to Christ. She got up, and she looked at me, and she goes, you've been looking at me all week. Amen. Saw a gal. I see some of you gals that, you know, you're hard as far as the preaching and everything goes in here. I stopped a little gal in that meeting at the doors going out. And I said, young lady, I know what you need. You need to get saved. She put her head down. She goes, I sure do. I grabbed the preacher's wife. They went back in another room. 15 minutes later, wow! Hallelujah! Amen. Preaching that meeting, there's an old boy that got off the back row. Here he come. He's an old Texan. We was in Texas. Had one of those big trucks, you know, with the horns on the front. Bo Cephas, you know, in the back window. You know, with a round spot in his pocket where his skull can goes, you know, and all that. Good old boy. Typical Baptist. And I seen that old boy, he got out of his seat and he put both hands in his britches all the way up to his elbows. Boy, here he come. He come all the way down the altar and he reached in his wallet and he peeled out these pieces of paper, slammed them on the altar, and he knelt down and started praying, just wailing, crying. And I was given the invitation. I was saying, you need to come. Why don't you come? And I'd look down. I wanted to see what the papers were. I'd leave over close. I said, why don't you come tonight? Why don't you come? You need to come, you know, and I'm looking down to see what they look. Finally, I got down there close enough. I could see they were lottery tickets. Amen. God, I never talked about the lottery, nothing about it. But God got a hold of his heart about playing the lottery. I wonder what could happen in here. Some of you lotto members just got right. Amen. Maybe you sneak down to the gambling house too. I don't know. But he put them things down there and squalled and bawled. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 10, 15 minutes later. Here come his wife. And she come, and the pastor's wife was sitting on the second row where you ladies are sitting. And I seen her stop, and she goes, I need to get saved. And she got saved that night. I thought about that. I said, I wonder if that old boy hadn't reached in that wallet, humbled himself, and got rid of them lottery tickets. I wonder if she would have got in. I wonder what hinges on you here tonight. Amen. I wonder what the Lord's holding back from this congregation sitting right here. You might be the one. Especially if you can't look at me right now. Amen. If y'all could see what I see. Cold love. Amen. I'll tell you what else. We've gotten cold toward the souls of men. Preach against soul winning nowadays. It's almost unheard of. Amen. People make us Bible believers, we've made light of it so long that we've gotten away from the habit of it. Talking about easy believism and all that. I'm telling you folks, one of our reasons here is to win souls. I was in Bible school. There was an old fellow there in Bible school. His name was Bill Lawrence. Bill Lawrence was one of the best soul winners I was ever around in my life. We used to go out, when we preached on the street, I went out on Saturday night down there to where Rosie O'Grady's and all them were. That fellow would go with us. I'm telling you, he walked with a cane. And that guy, man, he was a soul magnet. He'd get some young man, I'd see him have his arm around him there for a minute. A few minutes later, they'd both be crying.
The next time you look, that boy would be on his knees. He'd have his hand on his head there. He'd be praying, getting saved. Alan Ryman. Mentioned Alan Ryman. Alan Ryman's a soul winner. He took that church over there in Delaware. He had 8 people there in his church when he took it. They're running over 300. Most of them he's won himself. Remember, we was in Bible school, went down to the prison one time to preach, and Brother Ryman, he had his own street gang in Baltimore, Maryland. He's 15 years old. He used to carry a sawed-off shotgun and stuff. He's 15. God saved him. And we sitting there in Hardee's eating a hamburger, and there's a boy that walked in, and he walked in. He had braces on both legs, and he walked in like that. He could barely make it. Had them crutches that went up his arms, you know, with the braces. He'd come in like that, and I just kind of looked at him as eating my sandwich, and I looked back around at Brother Ryman, and I looked, and he had tears running out of his both eyes. I remember going home that night saying, God, I don't have what he's got, but I want it. Amen. So an old preacher was riding with a couple other preachers one day, and they rode by a biker bar. There's all of them sitting out there on their Harley Davidsons. You know, we call them scooter trash. You know, had the old gal sitting out there with the tattoos on them, you know. And some of them guys looked and said, look at that trash. The old preacher sitting there, and he goes, yeah, bless her heart. There's a difference. That's how I got in. So what do you mean? Old preacher had compassion on me.
Amen.
Preached the hell out of me.
Right.
Somebody loved me. Amen. Had compassion. Amen. I'm telling you, I wonder if we got a hold of that again. I wonder if we could start seeing some people saved. I was preaching at a church. I'd been there, Brother Piet, I'd been there 4 years in a row at that time. And they hadn't had nobody new. Nobody. And they was in a little residential area where people ought to be coming in. And the fourth revival there, I stopped one night and I said, hey, something's wrong here. I said, God won't send nobody to y'all. I said, you ain't had nobody saved. There's no visitors coming. What's wrong? Anybody here that's ever had anything to do with visitation, you know, going out and knocking on doors and inviting people to church, usually it ain't them folks that come. But God sends other people in.
That's right.
Well, wouldn't you agree then that it's up to God then to send people in?
Yes, sir.
I told that church, I said, God, don't trust you all with anybody. Something's wrong. And man, there was a lady sitting there and she started squalling, put her hands up. She goes, oh my God, it's me. Man, she got up and went over there and got some other lady and they got right with God. And then they got somebody else and man, they got things fixed, and buddy, we had a barn burner. Amen. Little old church, about 25 people. That preacher right now, that's been 3 or 4 years ago, he told me, Brother Mark, said, we're still seeing people saved. Said, we've had revival. Had 7 saved there last year during just a revival meeting. I wonder if there's somebody in here. It's because you got cold. Maybe the Lord, hey, He won't even send lost people over here. Maybe I'm shooting in the right hole now. Amen. Cold love. Cold, cold, cold. I got a great, man, you talk about a phone call. One of those phone calls you dream about getting. Christmas time I was home. And the phone rang and I answered the phone. And this voice come on the phone and said, is this Mark McGahee that used to live in Jackson, Ohio? I said, yes, it is. He says, I need to talk to you. He said, I found your number on the internet. He said, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm Skinner's ex-wife. Skinner was one of my old buddies before I got saved, my old dope-running buddy. He said, I had to call you and tell you that Biggin died. Biggin was one of our buddies, Rodney Dale Hall, and he weighed 550 pounds. He was about 6'8". He was a mammoth of a man. Rode an old black panhead. We was all, man, all just a mess. Called me and said, I need to tell you that he died. And I said, man, I hate to hear that. I went by and seen him last year, witnessed to him. And she said, oh, no. Said, I needed to call you because 2 weeks before he died, he got saved.
Amen.
She said, on his deathbed, said he was calling your name. I said, She said, "Oh, that ain't all." She said, "Skinner got saved too." And she said, "Mark, I got saved." And she started naming some of our other old buddies. And she said, "You know, we all said when you got out, when I got out of the drug culture and all that, well, they all said that, Mark, we needed to do what you and Miss D did." And 25 years later, God started giving an increase. Man, I'm skeptical on the phone. I said, "Well, tell me how you got saved." I wanted to make sure it wasn't at a Benny Hinn crusade or speak in tongues or something. I wanted to make sure. And man, she told me, man, I knew I was a sinner. And, you know, there's a preacher come by. Man, they right down the line. I prayed, and said, "To Christ, my Savior." And I'm like, "Whoa! Amen." I don't know. Maybe because you've never won a soul to Christ. Maybe that's why you have no taste for it. Amen. Maybe if you won somebody, maybe you'd be burnt. Never be the same. I remember when I was in Bible school, I'd been saved 2 years. I got saved, and the next year God called me to preach, and I started Bible school. Well, I went and seen some old friends, and I went and seen one of my old buddies. His name was Ed Milby. And Eddie was, we called him Eddie the Animal, because he's built like a silverback gorilla. He was also, we called him the King Quick Bandit, because he used a sawed-off shotgun and he robbed King Quick stores. That's what he did time in the pen for. And he had homemade tattoos all over him, the kind that you make yourself while you're in jail. That when you get older, it looks like a chicken walked through ink and walked all over you. And I went, me and my wife, we loaded up and went and seen Ed. Knocked at the door, and he opened the door, and he looked, and he goes, "Mark, is that you?" He's sitting there with a pair of shorts, no shirt on, hair down to here. You could smell pot in the house. I said, "Yeah, Eddie." He said, "I need to come by and talk to you." "Well, come on in, man." He said, "I heard that you got in church and stuff." He said, "But man, you look different." I said, "Amen, Ed." I got saved. I went in there, and I laid my Bible on the kitchen table, and I said, "Eddie, anything you ever wanted to ask a preacher?" You know, "I've been saved 2 years. Bible school 1 year." He said, "Man, you thought you knew a lot." I knew more than Ed. I was a theologian compared to Ed. Some of you, that's some of the reason why some of you won't witness. "I don't know much Bible." You know more than they do. Amen. You've learned enough just having it on your lap while preaching's going on than they do. I talked to Ed till 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday night. And I said, "Eddie, we're going down here to this big Baptist church in the morning. Why don't you go with us?" He said, "Man, I don't know. It's late." I said, "Come on, we'll take you out to eat." "All right, we'll go." Went by and picked him up. We took him to Dayton Baptist Temple in Dayton, Ohio. The pastor at that time was Gerald Fleming. And Gerald Fleming started that church in a Catholic community there in Dayton with 12 people. And within 5 years, he's running 2,000 in Sunday school. That was through the old 50s and 60s, the big church movement. And Brother Fleming at that time was just starting to have Alzheimer's. And we come in and we sat on the second row in that huge church balcony. And that old preacher, he was on that morning. They had the cordless mic, but it wasn't a cordless mic. It had a cord to it. You ever seen them old ones? And they'd have to have one of the deacons would follow behind him. And he'd walk up and down the platform, you know, big old platform, and he'd say, "Don't go to hell. Don't die and go to hell." And he'd be preaching like that and wiping sweat. And there'd be a guy behind him, you know, feeding the cord. Then he'd turn around. He'd have to turn around the other way and feed the cord. And man, that old preacher, he's preaching like that. And I looked down old Ed, and he was sweating in there. Amen. And they started giving the invitation. And that big old church, I call them social workers. You know, they got guys all standing at all the aisles with their Bibles. I was sitting there and I looked at Ed and they singing, "Just as I am without one plea." I said, "Eddie, what do you think, buddy?" He looked at me and he had tears in his eyes and he goes, "I need it, Mark." I said, "Well, come on, buddy. Let's go get saved." We stepped out of that aisle there and he had an old black t-shirt on, blue jeans, just huge, you know, old long hair. That social worker, he's sitting there and he looked and he's like, I went, "It's all right, he's with me." That guy kind of went, I took him down over here on this side of the altar and we knelt down. I said, "Eddie, remember what we talked about?" And I turned over and showed him in verses. I said, "Eddie, I can't get saved for you." I said, "You got to call on God yourself." I said, will you take my hand the best way you know how? You accept Christ as your Savior. Tell him you're a sinner. Boy, he put that big old hand in mine. Oh, God. God, I'm sorry. You know, you could hear him all through there. His wife, we found out she was saved. And she was sitting there with my wife. She started going, woo! Woo! I said, why? Oh, that was her old intravenous drug user down there. Old heroin shooting husband getting saved. Amen. Maybe, I don't know. It might do something for you if you've seen somebody saved. No way they got saved. I didn't know it then, but them old drugs, them old needles got him. Had to carry a beeper. And his liver was shot. And that old dope got him anyhow. And old Eddie, they called me one day, found out where I was. And his wife called me and said, Mark, Eddie's at hospice. Well, I knew what that meant. She started crying. She goes, Mark said, he weighs under 100 pounds. Said, I can pick him up, move him. Said, he's been calling for you. He wants to talk to you. I hear this little voice come on the phone. He goes, Mark, is that you? I said, it's me, Eddie. Hey, buddy. I said, Eddie, they tell me you ain't going to make it. Ain't going to make it. I said, you remember when we went to that church? You remember? You sure you saved, Ed? I'm sure I'm saved. He said, I love you. I said, love you too, buddy. I said, it won't be long, Eddie. There'll be two young men walk in your room in white. Amen. Go with them, Eddie. Be okay. Go with them. About 24 hours later, old Eddie went on the other side. Amen. I don't know how to describe that, folks, more than what I've done here. I can't describe what a feeling that is. But I know this, there's somebody out there you can reach. Unless you've just gotten so cold. Unless you're just such a Baptist. Maybe you're a Baptist brat. Amen. These kids, we're raising Baptist brats. I'm mad at you kids. Amen. I didn't have some of these guys sitting here. Don't you criticize these guys that run up and shout and run the aisles and stuff. Because some of you, you're raised in church. And you can't even say amen. You geek. I'm mad at them. Amen. Cold, cold, cold. Amen. Let me say last of all, cold toward the second coming of Christ. He's coming. Ready or not, he's coming. What if he come tonight? What if the rapture took place tonight? Would you go? What if outside out here we heard a noise sound like the earth being knocked off its axis? The trump of God sounds. All of a sudden everybody that's saved just choom out of here. All that's left is clothes and blood and eyeglasses and false teeth. Bolts and pins and titanium rods and glass eyes laying there. Some of y'all are put together with titanium rods and pins and bolts and screws and metal plate laying there that was in your head. Amen. Be a mask laying there where a lady had a lot of makeup on. Man, I know who that was. I'm telling you, if the rapture would take place right now, it wouldn't surprise me a bit if there'd be 5 or 6 people sitting in here. Missed it. I'll tell you what, if you do, you'll lose your mind. Preacher talking last night. Preacher was nailing you last night. Some of you got a false profession. Trusting a 3-year-old prayer at a bedside. Need to get saved. Washed in the blood. Amen. Ain't no reason why you're so cold. You've run from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost so long. I'm afraid he might not come by your way again. That's scary, ain't it? I'm telling you, he's coming. Any minute now, he could come. You ready? I'd sure hate to be online on MySpace.com when he comes.
I'd sure hate to be looking at pornography when he comes. I'd sure hate to be smoking a cigarette when he comes. Smoking a joint. Burning a rock of crack cocaine when he comes. I'd hate to be doing a hit of crystal meth when he comes. I'd hate to be fighting with my wife when he comes. I'd hate to be out of sorts with my mom and daddy when he comes. I'd hate to be out of sorts with my preacher when he comes. I'd hate to have went and never won a soul to Christ when he comes. Let me ask you something. Where are you at? You cold? Some of you are. Why don't you fix it tonight? Why don't you meet him right up here? Get it fixed. Cold love. Cold. Heads bowed and eyes closed. That's the message. You need to come tonight. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Why don't you come and get saved? That'd be something to do. How about coming, making your family? How about getting your mom and your daddy? Hug them. Tell them you love them. Take your wife. Renew something. Renew that love in your heart. Do something. Don't grow cold. How many of y'all sitting here and say, preacher, heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking. Is there anybody tonight say, preacher, I need to be saved. I need somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. Anybody like that? Slip your hand up. We'll get somebody to you. Anybody like that in here? Anybody? Say, preacher, I need to be saved. How many of y'all say, preacher, I know I'm saved. Ain't a doubt in my mind. Let me see your hand. I know. Ain't a doubt. All right? That's the first good step, young lady. You ain't trying to kid nobody no more. Now, why don't you get up out of your seat and come? Why don't you come? Right now. Right now. Let me ask you this. I know this sounds simple. Let me ask you. Would God want you to be saved? Would the devil want you to be saved? Which one are you going to listen to? Which one are you going to listen to right now? Why don't you come? Why don't you come? If I thought it'd do any good, I'd come back and get you. You feel that in your heart? You feel those tears? That's the Holy Spirit. Why don't you come? Come on, right now. Would you? Father, I pray you bless this invitation. God, have your way. Help us here tonight, Lord. You take over this service. There's some here that need to be saved. And God, others that, well, Lord, we just need revival. And some of us just need to be here in a service like this, God. Stir the church up. Stir these other churches up, God, these folks. And help us, Lord, here tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to extend the